Fisher Body Historical Team Area Business Interviews. Today is March 29th, 2006. The time is approximately 9:35. We are at Harry's place, and today we will first introduce the team.
Cheryl McQuaid.
John Fiedema.
Doug Rademacher.
Jerry Smith.
And Marilyn Coulter. Today we're here with Aristides Ivanitis. Can you please state and spell your name, please?
My name is Aristides Arvanites, A-R-V-A-N-I-T-E-S, and my first name is known, as I said, Aristides, and it's A-R-I-S-T-I-D-E-S, also known as Art, A-R-T.
And the name of your business and the address, please?
It's Harry's Bar and Grill at 404 North Verlinden, Lansing, Michigan.
Okay. Art, how long have you been a resident of the Lansing area?
Ever since 1952.
In 1952. Now, you are Greek, correct?
Yes.
Can you tell me, what did your parents do?
Well, my parents, they were farmers.
They were farmers. And so you came here in 52. Can you tell us about your early days in Greece and what brought you here to America?
Well, in 1941, my dad was killed through the German invasion of Greece. And there was five of us in the family. My mother had a hard time raising us. So I left and I went to stay with an uncle. And in 1951, I had gone to Athens, and I was fortunate enough to find someone to sponsor me to come to the United States. So I came to the United States in 1952, and I've been here, thank God, ever since.
So, what was the economy like in Greece?
Devastating. Terrible. You know, during the war, everything was destroyed. We had a very, very hard time. It's one of those things that when you have wars, life, it's very, very difficult for everybody.
So, Art, how old were you when you...
I was 17.
17. So at 17, what did you have any thoughts of what you were going to see when you came to America? What were some of your thoughts of what America was like?
It was just like a dream. That's all I was dreaming, you know, an adventurous dream that America is. Mm-hmm. I was dreaming about the cowboys of Mexico, the cowboys of Texas. That it was a fantasy, you know, it was beautiful.
So who sponsored you to come to America?
That was my grandma's brother.
Can you tell us about how, when you got here?
Well, you want me to say that?
Mm-hmm.
I arrived in New York. There was July 10th, 1952. After we left the Ellis Island, we got into the train. We came to Detroit 24 hours later. My uncle and my aunt supposed to waiting for me. I'm in the middle of the train. A lot of people on the train going two separate ways. Art is in the middle. Which way he's going to go? I did not know. There was a conductor. This individual was nice, tall, black fella with a nice head, nice looking gentleman. I spoke to him in Greek. There's my aunt and uncle outside waiting to pick me up. Which way should I go? This individual, it was my first experience to see, other than a Greek individual close enough, his eyes open wide and I can feel, he said, what? And I repeat, he left. A few minutes later, a lady came in to pick me up. I thought it was my aunt. No, there wasn't. I spoke to her in Greek again. No response. But she picked me up, and she took me to my uncle and aunt that they were waiting at the gate. And it was such a great feeling to know now I was in good hands.
Who needs coffee now, here?
Yeah.
As I understand, Harry, once Duran factory was bought by GM, Harry reopened to serve food and accommodate a good people of Fisher Body at that time. And he did that till 1946, I'm pretty sure. In that time, GM and United Auto Workers, they had a little problem, which there wasn't United Auto Workers yet, but there was to unionize, and Harry's became the headquarters of 602. Does anybody know that?
Mm-mm. You know that?
And there was the soup line. There was Harry's. In the parking lot, there was for the tents. If you go back to check with, now you don't have anybody like Rocky Stones, or I think there was a gentleman by the name of Santoro, as the president back in the 40s. Mm-hmm. And because the front entrance of Fisher Body was right across the street, so that was very appropriate at that time, mm-hmm. that Harry, which he loved the working class people, mm-hmm. that was his kind of people, mm-hmm. he turned his place for, I think approximately of what I understand, 5 to 6 months.
5 to 6 months.
And that took about that long finally to settle. So there was Harry Soup Line. It was known then.
So, after that, and the, you know, well, the strike was, you know, they got the union in and everything, and was it also used for the same thing, the strikes and things like that? When they had strikes?
Oh yes, we're normally, we used to have Harry's OB whenever your guards come in. Well, if anybody had to use the facilities, where are they going to go? Right to Harry's. You know, we always been what I call to my good friends of Fisher Body, 602, and GM, mm-hmm. because back then we served both mm-hmm. the hourly, also some of the salary people. They used to come in back in the 50s and 60s. Mm-hmm. And they were wonderful people. They were my kind of people, the people that you really trust, the people that were honest, the mm-hmm. people that were making a good living, mm-hmm. and they pay their bills. Good to be with. Mm-hmm. No hypocritical way whatsoever about the people that work at Fisher Body. Mm-hmm. I mean, you love them. What can I say about them? You know, there's wonderful people. I had tremendous experience with them. I love them. You know, there's many friends.
So now, are there any more things about Harry and Harry's biography that we need to know before you took it over?
I'm sorry,
was there anything else we need to know about outside of it being the strike headquarters and things like that in the 40s that you remember? Any?
There were a lot of things Harry used to tell me, but you know, I specifically, there's one thing. Okay, back I think in about 1937-38, Harry used to own the lot next door. He built a place with another gentleman, so more or less to expand where something happened, so they became two different places. There was Harry's at that time, way back then, it wasn't known as Harry's Place. It was known as Star Cafe.
Star Cafe?
Star Cafe, back in 1922 when it opened up. Originally, it was named after the best-selling car that Billy Durant produced, the Durant Motors produced, the Star Cafe, the Star car. So he named his restaurant the Star Cafe. And the name of Harry's did not take place till I took over or came here, I think it was around 1960. He said, well, you have Harry's there, put it in the books, it's Harry's place. And that's when we did it. Yes. And in 1938, they opened up. But then it was known as Verlinden Cafe. This was known as Verlinden Cafe. It was two different separate places. So Harry decided at that time, you stay at a restaurant. And then he got his beer license, and he opened up his section as a tavern. So not to compete against one another with, I think it was Mr. Tobias who was running the Verlinden Cafe, which now it's the addition of Harry's. So they worked together till 1961. In 1961, we had a U.S. steel strike. And at that time, the U.S. steel strike, if I can remember correctly, which I was still here myself, it lasted something like about 6 months. And that was devastating for the local business at the time, also for the United Auto Workers and everybody else, because they had no control, GM had no control about the U.S. Steel. And I think even President Kennedy at that time intervened to tell those people to go back to work, because I have no facts on it, the whole country was suffering. So at that time, Verlinden Cafe had to close and never open up again. We also, at the same time, we had the city of Lansing took all the off-street parking away from around our business. That's when they put the parking meters out there. And you cannot park for any length of time around. So Verlinden Cafe, for not having any parking, it had a double hurt on it. Mm-hmm. Where Harry's had parking, mm-hmm. even though we're using it strictly for the people that work at the plant, not for transit. And it worked okay. So they work all right till then, you know. And
what about Sexton High School? Being down the street from you.
Sexton High School, it's always been very supportive of Harry's, and we've been very supportive of Sexton. It's been good. In sometimes slow times, we always had a good trade with them. A lot of kids came down to Harry's, and that's another wonderful experience, knowing all these young people, and we see them later on to become the leaders of our city or, you know, very successful people.
Now, what about you? Now, you said you were 17 when you came, and you were living right on Butler. Did you attend Sexton at all?
Yes, I attended Sexton for, I can say for probably about 6 months or so. But it was very difficult those days to work and go to school. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I had come in and worked a little bit for Harry. But I also was told I would be drafted in the Army. And in 1957, I was fortunate enough to be drafted into the U.S. Army, and I had some wonderful 2 years with the U.S. Army, and I came back in 1959, and just like I said previously, ever since 1959, once I got together with Harry, I've been here ever since, and it's been a wonderful life.
How old were you when you got married?
Well, I got married September of 59, which makes me about 24 years old. It's been a wonderful life. We've still been married, wife and I, for pretty near 47 years now. We have three children, six grandkids, It's been wonderful. Beautiful life. A dream of life.
So let's fast forward to when Art took over Harry's.
Well, Harry and I, in 1959, when I came back to associate with Uncle Harry Andrews, he promised me that when he's ready to retire, he was going to sell me the business. And we did not agree for any price or anything. I just said, just be fair, so whatever it is, and see if I can afford it. If I cannot afford it, I cannot. If you're fair, then there will be no hard feelings. But there was one thing that I also want to get to where we can stabilize Harry's a little better. Harry's in 1960s and 50s had no liquor. So I said at that time to Mr. Anderson, Uncle Harry, that the thing to do is apply for a liquor license. He says to me, I made a good living without a liquor license. We don't need it. I said, yes. But then I'm going to have a family, hopefully in the future. We need a little more stabilization of Harry's. We need a liquor license. I could not apply for a liquor license because under the law, I did not have 5 years' experience in the restaurant business. And that time required that in order to have a liquor license, you have to have experience in the food industry. So Mr. Anders applied, and we were granted in 1961 the liquor license. Under the Michigan law, you have to operate for 3 years. So in 1964, Harry Andrews called me upstairs, which he stayed upstairs. That was his home, upstairs from Harry's. And he says to me, Art, I'm ready to sell you the business. And he told me exactly what he wanted to sell it for, how much rent, and what was my responsibilities, because he did not want to have no more responsibilities. Nowadays, they call it triple net. And I thought for about maybe 30 seconds, and I said, you got a deal. And I said, can I go to the attorney and draw a contract? He says, please do. And 2 days later or so, we applied to the Liquor Control Commission for transfer of the license and the business. And early 1965, the transaction took place, and I've been here ever since.
Doug Rademacher. Art, how did you meet your wife?
Well, I met her through the church. We're both Greek Orthodox. And I met her before I went to service. And I knew maybe two or three girls that when I was in the military, I wrote them a letter. My wife never responded. I think I wrote her about three letters, and I never had an answer back. When I returned from the Army, we saw one another again, and we started talking. And I don't know what it is, love at first sight afterwards, whatever. We had a lot of things in common. And in 1959, September 13 of 1959, we got married. We got blessed with four children, three of whom they're alive. And, you know, you do have a lot of ups and downs in life, but thank God, other than losing Joni, our first child, life's been really wonderful. People of 602, they've been my best friends. Not because I'm talking to the union people, I'm talking from my heart that the people from 602, they've been my best friends that I ever knew. And it's been a lot of them. And I wish I could remember all their names. what was it, Doc Brown? Don Brown. Remember Don Brown?
Yes.
Summers.
Bob Summers.
Dan Smith, president. You know, there were so many people. Ted Hartman. Okay? I call him Uncle Theo. For Ted, Theodore. There's so many people that really made my life so wonderful. That, what can I say? I was very fortunate, very blessed.
Art, you're blessed with children. Are they part of your business at Harry's?
Yes, they are. Harry is here. She's been here ever since she could walk. Tina, my other daughter, was the same thing. And they're both married, thank God. Two wonderful gentlemen. They are members of 602. They have at least 25 plus years with GM. And thank God for GM. What can I say? It's been wonderful. They have wonderful lives. They have wonderful families. I'm blessed. Thank God.
Art, I'd like to take you back to, I guess it'd be the 60s. You were the owner of Harry's Place at that time. There's a little place, a little lot, an open lot behind your property here. Can you tell what that was used for and what, you know, I have a story I want to hear from you, but I was a child in the neighborhood here, and I know we played ball there. Do you remember a time when we took out the back window of your vehicle by hitting a ball?
There was the vehicle, there was the upstairs, there was the little garage next door. You know, I used to say, guys, you can use a lot, play softball, but use a little softball, not a hardball. But I guess, you know, when you're young, when you're 10, 11, 12 years old, sure, you listen for 30 seconds and back to whatever. And then some of the guys, maybe Doug, you were the powerhouse there. You hit that ball maybe 250 feet. Bang, there goes the window. And then you guys, oh, what can we say? But that was wonderful. That was wonderful. I'm glad that they used a lot for the neighborhood little recreation area, which now we using it for growing vegetables for the neighborhood. It's still there.
I want to ask you. You said at a certain point the Berlin Cafe closed permanently. Did there come a time when there was a tragedy with that building?
Yes, I think there was early 1980s that building had a fire. And the thing is, you know, go back that when I first bought Harry's, my dream was to, because Verlinden Cafe was closed, to merge those buildings together to make one and serve the people of the neighborhood and Fisherbody much better. And I tried to work with the owner at that time, was Don Deeps, but I couldn't get together. You know, the price was outrageous at one time, but we just could not get to the... finally, in I think it was right after the fire they had, Mr. Deep died. And this was awarded to his cousin. I got together with his cousin, and I think it was probably around late 1983 or 84, we agreed to the price. And I purchased the next door, and by 1985, we merged both buildings together, which now it's still in operation.
That's great. That Mr. Deeds, did he own that lot behind the place too?
Yes.
As I remember, as a young man, he would come and chase us off from playing there. Just so you know, the reason we use the baseball, Art, was that if we could hit the parking lot, it was a home run, and if we could hit, and if we could hit the pole in the corner over by the garage, it was a grand slam. So now you know what we were aiming for.
But then, if you missed, you hit the windows.
One more question that before we go back into some other things. You said Sexton was a fountain of youth, and they supported your business, and you've seen some of the kids grow up and go on to be community leaders and so forth. What about the people in the neighborhood that have gone into the plant? Did you see any number of them?
Well, of course. Every day. Every day they'll pass by, walk by, they come in. You know, it's such a great neighborhood. We had wonderful time with everybody. You know, thank God I was blessed to be, just like I said, in this area with these people. It's been wonderful. It's been wonderful.
So this wasn't a, as far as a factory neighborhood, this wasn't cracker box houses or anything? This
Not at all. Not at all. We did not condone that. We did not allow anything like that. There was a very family-run place. And there was my dream always to have a friendly place for everybody and not to be used for any other purposes.
Jerry Smith. Art, could you go back and tell us, you were talking about a community garden out back on this lot. Could you tell us about that?
Once springtime comes in now, the last few years, people, I'll say at least the last 10 years, they go and plant different produce for the people that do not have their own gardens. Thanks, Doug. And it's really, excuse me, really wonderful to see the produce that they grow back there. And I have on the other lot, I used to do that, but I haven't done it lately because I do it at home. But it's wonderful to see these neighbors go out there, plant the things and water them and let them grow and come in and pick up the, I don't know if you've seen a dog there, pick up the produce that they grow. It's unbelievable. It's wonderful.
So there's still a sense of community.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm Marilyn Coulter. All right. Harry's has always been a place that serves Fisher Body. And can you tell us about the interaction with the employees of Fisher Bodies? How did the Fisher Body affect your hours, for example?
We always, from day one, Harry's was operating the hours to accommodate the people from GM, Fisher Body. That was my goal. Whenever they shortened their hours, Harry shortened their hours. They extended their hours, Harry's extended their hours. I mean, I was totally geared to make sure that the people from Fisher Body were taken care of. They were my bread and butter. I live and die the way that Fisher Body operated, GM operated.
Mm-hmm. So did you have to, like, when we were up and running and had the large masses, how many employees did you have to have here?
There was, I think, at the peak, at one time, I had about 29 employees.
29?
Yes. My philosophy was in business that because GM people, they only had very, very short time to have lunch. That come in and accommodate them fast as we can. So therefore, I had to make sure the station people at the right spots when people came in, out they go quickly. And we had to do it that way. Otherwise, you know, we could not accommodate all your people.
Now, did you also do phone orders and all that other
stuff? Oh, absolutely. There was, I think, between 70 to 80% of our food sales was takeout. That's why we had the lines to come in, cash your checks.
But you used to cash checks also?
Oh, absolutely.
So first
did you
could strike
pay and do cash? Come over to know the line? I don't know. Yeah. Oh, yes. Special. As I understand, Harry, once Duran factory was bought by GM, Harry reopened to serve food and accommodate a good people of Fisher Body at that time. And he did that till 1946, I'm pretty sure. And that time, GM and United Auto Workers, they had a little problem, which it wasn't United Auto Workers yet, but there was to unionize, and Harry's became the headquarters of 602. Does anybody know that?
Mm-mm. Yeah,
there was the soup line. There was Harry's. In the parking lot, there was for the tents. If you go back to check with, now you don't have anybody like Rocky Stones, or I think there was a gentleman by the name of Santoro, as the president back in the 40s. Mm-hmm. And because the front entrance of Fisher Body was right across the street, so that was very appropriate at that time, mm-hmm. that Harry, which he loved the working class people, mm-hmm. that was his kind of people, mm-hmm. he turned his place for I think approximately, of what I understand, 5 to 6 months.
5 to 6 months.
And that took about that long finally to settle. So there was Harry Soup Line, it was known then.
So after that, and the strike was, they got the union in and everything, and was it also used for the same thing, when strikes and things were out? When they had strikes?
Oh yes, we're normally, we used to have Harry's OB whenever your guards come in. Well, if anybody had to use the facilities, where are they going to go? Right to Harry's. We always banned what I called to my good friends of Fisher Body, 602, and GM, mm-hmm. because back then we served both mm-hmm. the hourly, also some of the salary people. They used to come in back in the 50s and 60s. Mm-hmm. And they were wonderful people. They were my kind of people, the people that you really trust, the people that were honest, the mm-hmm. people that were making a good living, mm-hmm. and they pay their bills. Good to be with. Mm-hmm. No hypocritical way whatsoever about the people that work at Fisher Body. Mm-hmm. I mean, you love them. What can I say about them? There's wonderful people. I had tremendous experience with them. I love them. There's many friends.
So now, are there any more things about Harry and Harry's biography that we need to know before you took it over?
I'm sorry, close.
Was there anything else we need to know about, outside of it being the strike headquarters and things like that in the 40s that you remember? Any?
No. Doug Radman.
There were a lot of things Harry used to tell me, but I specifically. There's one thing. Okay. Back, I think, in about 1937, 38, Harry used to own the lot next door. He built a place with another gentleman, so more or less to expand where something happened, so they became two different places. There was Harry's at that time, way back then, it wasn't known as Harry's Place. It was known as Star Cafe.
Star Cafe?
Star Cafe. Back in 1922, when it opened up, originally it was named after the best-selling car that Willie Durant produced, the Duran Motors produced the Star Cafe, the Star Red, the Star Car. So he named his restaurant the Star Cafe. And the name of Harry's did not take place till I took over or came here, I think it was around 1960. He said, well, you have Harry's there, put it in the books, it's Harry's place. And that's when we did it. And in 1938, they opened up, but then it was known as Verlinden Cafe. This was known as Verlinden Cafe. It was two different separate places. So Harry decided at that time, you stay a restaurant, and then he got his beer license, and he opened up his section as a tavern. So not to compete against one another with, I think it was Mr. Tobias who was running the Verlinden Cafe, which now it's the addition of Harry's. So they worked together till 1961. In 1961, we had the U.S. Steel strike. And at that time, the U.S. Steel strike, if I can remember correctly, which I was still here myself, it lasted something like about 6 months. And that was devastating for the local business at the time, also for the United Auto Workers and everybody else, because they had no control, GM had no control about the U.S. Steel. And I think even President Kennedy at that time intervened to tell those people to go back to work, because I have no facts on it, the whole country was suffering. So at that time, Verlinden Cafe had to close and never open up again. We also, at the same time, we had the city of Lansing took all the off-street parking away from around our business. That's when they put the parking meters out there. And you could not park for any length of time around. So Verlinden Cafe, for not having any parking, it had a double hurt on it. Where Harry's had parking, even though we're using it strictly for the people that work at the plant, not for transit. And it worked okay. So they work all right till then, you know. And
what about Sexton High School being down the street from you?
Sexton High School, it's always been very supportive of Harry's, and we've been very supportive of Sexton. It's been good in sometimes slow times. We always had a good trade with them. A lot of kids came down to Harry's, and that's another wonderful experience, knowing all these young people, and we see them later on to become the leaders of our city or, you know, very successful people.
Now, what about you? Now, you said you were 17 when you came and you were living right on Butler. Did you attend Sexton at all?
Yes, I attended Sexton for, I can say, for probably about 6 months or so. But it was very difficult those days to work and go to school. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I had come in and worked a little bit for Harry. But I also was told I would be drafted in the Army. And in 1957, I was fortunate enough to be drafted into the U.S. Army. And I had some wonderful 2 years with the U.S. Army. And I came back in 1959. And just like I said previously, ever since 1959, once I got together with Harry, I've been here ever since. And it's been a wonderful life.
How old were you when you got married?
Well, I got married September of 59, which makes me about 24 years old. And it's been a wonderful life. We've still been married, my wife and I, for pretty near 47 years now. We have 3 children, 6 grandkids. It's been a wonderful, beautiful life, a dream of life.
So let's fast forward to when Art took over Harry's.
Well, Harry and I, in 1959, when I came back to associate with Uncle Harry Andrews, he promised me that when he's ready to retire, he was going to sell me the business. And we did not agree for any price or anything. I just said, just be fair, so whatever it is, and see if I can afford it. If I cannot afford it, I cannot. If you're fair, then there will be no hard feelings. But there was one thing that I also want to get to where we can stabilize Harry's a little better. Harry's in 1960s and then 50s had no liquor. So I said at that time to Mr. Anderson, Uncle Harry, that the thing to do is apply for a liquor license. He says to me, I made a good living without a liquor license. We don't need it. I said, yes. But then I'm going to have a family, hopefully in the future. We need a little more stabilization of Harry's. We need a liquor license. I could not apply for a liquor license because under the law, I did not have 5 years' experience in the restaurant business. And that time required that in order to have a liquor license, you have to have experience in the food industry. So Mr. Anders applied, and we were granted in 1961 the liquor license. Under the Michigan law, you have to operate for 3 years. So in 1964, Harry Andrews called me upstairs, which he stayed upstairs. That was his home, upstairs from Harry's. And he says to me, Art, I'm ready to sell you the business. And he told me exactly what he wanted to sell it for, how much rent, and what was my responsibilities, because he did not want to have no more responsibilities. Nowadays, they call it triple net. And I thought for about maybe 30 seconds, and I said, you got a deal. And I said, can I go to the attorney and draw a contract? He says, please do. And 2 days later or so, we applied to the Liquor Control Commission for transfer of the license and the business. And early 1965, the transaction took place, and I've been here ever since.
Doug Rademacher. Art, how did you meet your wife?
Well, I met her through the church. We're both Greek Orthodox. And I met her before I went to service. And I knew maybe two or three girls that when I was in the military, I wrote them a letter. My wife never responded. I think I wrote her about three letters, and I never had an answer back. When I returned from the army, we saw one another again, and we started talking. And I don't know what it is, love at first sight afterwards, whatever. We had a lot of things in common. And in 1959, September 13 of 1959, we got married. We got blessed with four children, three of whom they're alive. And, you know, you do have a lot of ups and downs in life, but thank God, other than losing Joni, our first child, life's been really wonderful. People of 602, they've been my best friends. Not because I'm talking to the union people, I'm talking from my heart that the people from 602, they've been my best friends that I ever knew. And it's been a lot of them. And I wish I could remember all their names. What was it, Doug Brown? Dan Brown. Remember Dan Brown?
Yes.
Summers.
Bob Summers.
Dan Smith. president. You know, there were so many people. Ted Hartman. Okay? I call him Uncle Theo. For Ted, Theodore. There's so many people that really made my life so wonderful. That, what can I say? I was very fortunate, very blessed.
Art, you're blessed with children. Are they part of your business at Harry's?
Yes, they are. Harry is here. She's been here ever since she could walk. Tina, my other daughter, was the same thing. And they're both married, thank God. Two wonderful gentlemen. They are members of 602. They have at least 25 plus years with GM. And thank God for GM. What can I say? It's been wonderful. They have wonderful lives. They have wonderful families. I'm blessed. Thank God.
Art, I'd like to take you back to, I guess it'd be the 60s. You were the owner of Harry's Place at that time. There's a little place, a little lot, an open lot behind your property here. Can you tell what that was used for and what, you know, I have a story I want to hear from you, but I was a child in the neighborhood here, and I know we played ball there. Do you remember a time when we took out the back window of your vehicle by hitting a ball?
There was the vehicle, there was the upstairs, there was the little garage next door. You know, I used to say, guys, you can use a lot, play softball, but use a little softball, not a hardball. But I guess, you know, when you're young, when you're 10, 11, 12 years old, sure, you listen for 30 seconds and back to whatever. And then some of the guys, maybe Doug, you were the powerhouse there. You hit that ball maybe 250 feet, bang, there goes the window. And then you guys, oh, what can we say? But that was wonderful. That was wonderful. I'm glad that they used a lot for the neighborhood little recreation area, which now we using it for growing vegetables for the neighborhood. It's still there.
I want to ask you, you said at a certain point the Berlin Cafe closed permanently. Did there come a time when there was a tragedy with that building?
Yes, I think there was early 1980s that building had a fire. And the thing is, you know, go back that when I first bought Harry's, my dream was to, because Verlinden Cafe was closed, to merge those buildings together to make one and serve the people of the neighborhood and Fisherbody much better. And I tried to work with the owner at that time, was Don Deeps, but I couldn't get together. You know, the price was outrageous at one time, but we just could not get to the... finally, in I think it was right after the fire they had, Mr. Deep died, and this was awarded to his cousin. I got together with his cousin, and I think it was probably around late 1983 or 84, we agreed to the price. And I purchased the next door, and by 1985, we merged both buildings together, which now it's still in operation.
That's great. That Mr. Deeps, did he own that lot behind the place too?
Yes.
As I remember as a young man, he would come and chase us off from playing there. Just so you know, the reason we use the baseball, Art, was that if we could hit the parking lot, it was a home run, and if we could hit, and if we could hit the pole in the corner over by the garage, it was a grand slam. So now you know what we were aiming for.
But then, if you miss, you hit the windows.
One more question that before we go back into some other things, you said Sexton was fountain of youth, and they supported your business, and you've seen some of the kids grow up and go on to be community leaders and so forth. What about the people in the neighborhood that have gone into the plant? Did you see any number of them?
Well, of course. Every day. Every day they'll pass by, walk by, they come in. You know, it's such a great neighborhood. We had wonderful time with everybody. You know, thank God, I was blessed to be, just like I said, in this area with these people. It's been wonderful. It's been wonderful.
So this wasn't as far as a factory neighborhood, this wasn't cracker box houses or anything?
Not at all. Not at all. We did not condone that. We did not allow anything like that. There was a very family-run place. And that was my dream, always have a friendly place for everybody and not to be used for any other purposes.
Jerry Smith. Art, could you go back and tell us, you were talking about a community garden out back on this lot. Could you tell us about that?
Once springtime comes in now, the last few years, people, I'll say at least the last 10 years, they go and plant different produce for the people that do not have their own gardens. Thanks, Doug. And it's really... Excuse me, really wonderful to see the produce that they grow back there. And I have on the other lot, I used to do that, but I haven't done it lately because I do it at home. But it's wonderful to see these neighbors go out there, plant the things and water them and let them grow and come in and pick up the, I don't know if you've seen it, Doug, there, pick up the produce that they grow. It's unbelievable. It's wonderful.
So there's still a sense of community.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm Marilyn Coulter. All right. Harry's has always been a place to service Fisher Body. And can you tell us about the interaction with the employees of Fisher Bodies? How did the Fisher Body affect your hours, for example?
We always, from day one, Harry's was operating the hours to accommodate the people from GM, Fisher Body. That was my goal. Whenever they shortened their hours, Harry shortened their hours. They extended their hours, Harry's extended their hours. I mean, I was totally geared to make sure that the people from Fisher Body were taken care of. They were my bread and butter. I live and die the way that Fisher Body operated, GM operated.
Mm-hmm. So did you have to, like, when we were up and running and had the large masses, how many employees did you have here?
There was, I think, at the peak, at one time, I had about 29 employees.
29?
Yes. My philosophy was in business that because GM people, they only had very short time to have lunch. That come in and accommodate them fast as we can. So therefore, I had to make sure to station people at the right spots. When people came in, out they go quickly. And we had to do it that way. Otherwise, you know, we could not accommodate all your people.
Now, did you also do phone orders and all that other
stuff? Oh, absolutely. There was, I think, between 70 to 80% of our food sales was takeout. That's why we had the lines to come in, cash your checks.
But you used to cash checks also?
Oh, absolutely.
So first
you come
distract,
over when we had, come over to another line. They don't. Yeah. Oh, yes. Special.
Go.
So, Art, you said that you used to cash payroll checks here, too?
Yes.
And that was for both the day shift and the night shift?
Of course. Accommodate my good people, Fisher Body.
Then that means on Thursday and Friday night, there must have been a lot of hustle and bustle?
Yes. There was our, I used to say, our money days. If we did not do well those 2 days, then the whole week was kind of non-profitable. Because at that time, I used to have a lot of employees. Mm-hmm. You know, we used to have up to, at the maximum, 29 employees at Harry's. So there are a lot of people depend on Harry's, just like we depended at Fisher Body.
So on a good money day, how many Fisher Body checks would you have cashed?
At those days, probably somewhere between 400 and 500.
That's a lot of business. That's a lot of money coming through this building. And
you know what was the good thing about it? A lot of people, and Doug probably knows that, they used to come in at Harry's, eat during the week, and they cash their checks, and would take out their tab.
Okay.
That was such a wonderful experience, such a wonderful, beautiful time then.
So you were really a family bar?
Absolutely. My big family, Fisher Body.
Your Fisher Body family. What would you say was your best-selling item? What was the Harry's specialty here?
Well, we had what I call a Jabba Double Double. Great subs. The Jabba Double Double was two hamburg patties put together. And we used a quarter pounders. And they were what I called the expanded quarter pounders because it only took 30 seconds on each side to cook it because of the quickness that we had to produce. Mm-hmm. We could not put a half a pounder or any item that took long time to cook. Mm-hmm. That was, we had to accommodate the people in a short time. We had the great subs. As we got the Harry sub, the Art sub, those are, oh, they're still great. And another item that we have that I think we browse all the time, there was Harry's wings.
Harry's wings.
Harry's wings, the buffalo wings, the regular wings. People that could get food and go on the line and eat it on the line.
What was a Sarah sub?
Sarah sub, it was named after a lady that cooked for me for a long time, and it was a friend, it was a neighbor. Let's see, was born in this, the corner of Genesee and Berlingen, and grew up, and she was such, and she still is such a great lady, that I named it after her. Most of our subs are named after a great employee that worked for us.
So what's in a Harry? What's in a
Harry
sub?
Sarah sub. It was the what we call the full meats. You had your salami, bologna, and pastrami, and we put it together in an 8-inch bun with a lot of lettuce, mayo, tomatoes, onion. You name it. It was great, and it still is great.
I know you make an awesome veg sub, too.
Veg subs, great pizzas, you know, but the wings and the subs to accommodate the people from Fisher Body to eat on the line, they were our main items.
Now, they came here during their lunchtime. Did they ever have events? Did employees bring in their personal events into your facility?
Of course.
So what types of things would happen here?
Well, I tell you, my thing was from the beginning. You have a birthday, you have a retirement, you have anything they had to do with a function of employees, what's happening in Fisher Body, we always came over. And Art was always willing to buy the first round, whatever they want to, because of appreciation all through the years. Of faithful patronage to our establishment.
Mm-hmm. What about UAW Local 602? Did you ever do anything for that?
I had told my kids and myself, whatever 602 had a function, they want something, always provide for them. Whatever they want to, do it. Mm-hmm. They're our bread and butter. They're our friends. They're our family. So if they had to go to, let's say, Lions game, we made sure we made their subs, whatever they want to. They had a union function. They want to get a beer. We always provide the beer at no more than what the cost to Harry's was. Because our profit was made otherwise too. You know, you got to help. One hand helps the other. Because you people have been so good to us.
What about the picnics? Did you ever do anything with the picnics? Were you invited to the 602 picnics?
Oh, of course. That was my time to go and see some of the old retirees that they were there, and we more or less reminisce the good old days. Because you go there and you see people that retired 10, 15, 20 years. And they're still around. And talk about the good old days.
Well, I know that oftentimes we've had skilled trades people do things like government jobs, special jobs for people, using their skills. Did you ever have any skilled trades people do any jobs for you?
I don't think they really had any of those people. Not that I can recall, tell you the truth.
Can you remember what might have been one of the funniest experiences you ever had with Fisher Body or the Fisher Body employees?
Ooh, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. I don't know. I think, to be very honest with you, just I can't remember really any fine, but I had such a great time with all of them. Just see them coming over, enjoy, and be so friendly, and we joke. But, you know, one unique experience to come in my mind, I can't recall. Maybe I got a little senior moment right now. I don't know.
Well, we might come back to that if it comes back to you. What about one of your happiest moments?
Happiest moments. I think my happiest moments, very happy moment, was marrying my wife. And then my children coming along.
That's wonderful.
I think that I was blessed. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, been involved with Harry's, been involved with GM people. Yeah. Those, I cannot put one because there were a lot of happy moments. Uh-huh. A lot of happy moments.
What about your past workers like Gus and Bill? Or?
They were tremendous people. Gus, when I bought the place, Gus was working at Fisher. Mm-hmm. He had a job, if I recall, by doing body work. Mm-hmm. His back was killing him. So, as Ben, a fellow Greek, he asked me if I can do anything about Nasir Kass. Come over. I need someone. Honest, truthful, hard worker. And Gus worked for me from 1965 till 1983.
And then what happened?
When he opened up, we used to have a building on the other side of the factory. And that was funny. Those days, everybody was talking about Fisher Body put a tunnel to merge Fisher with G with the Oldsmobile. So Gus and I tried to be smart, so we started purchasing property off Michigan Avenue, West Michigan Avenue. And we had, I think, about 10 pieces of property at that time. Mm-hmm. And we had a restaurant, which the people did not make it. So Gus we decided to do something with it. And we opened up Gus's bar. And I told Gus, Gus, you run that one on the south side. I'll run the east side. You take care of the people on the south side. I take care of the people on the east side. And Gus and I were still friends. And, you know, we saw Gus put the building. We separate because his kids grew up. My kids grew up. Bill kids, another gentleman that worked for me for many years. Mm-hmm. His kids grew up. So we divided the properties in equal amount. So Gus got his share. Bill got his share. And I still have my share. I still have a house on that site. And, you know, caravan and Gus's and all the... They were part of the what we used to call that time Arvanitis Kaliakatsis properties. AC properties.
They have a lot of property. Now, you know, Lansing has always been called the capital of quality. How did you see it?
I always admire when people, they used to come in and say, hey, we had from whoever was ranking Fisher Body as the top quality. It gave me a great feeling because the people I know from Fisher, they were good workers, very dedicated, good products, and they always helped one another. They are always, as you people know, they were teamwork. And the quality was always seen as... I used to tell people, if you think that our quality is not good, what happens to the people from Flint or Pontiac? We're the number one. We're the greatest.
Mm-hmm. Now, you are a neighborhood establishment. Can you tell us a little bit about your other neighbors? I mean, were the supervisors living in the area? Did you know any of the people who lived in the area?
Well, I knew a lot of them by their faces. I knew them by their names. I cannot recall a lot of them. Mr. Owens was one of my best friends. Also, there was another supervisor. I used to live right by Jennison. They used to make a little routine. Even the plant superintendent, Mr. Withorn, used to stop in, get his cigar, get his pop. We had, you know, a lot of the GM people from day one, just like we said, with like Billy Durant till the end. We always had not only the 602 people, but people working in the office. They'll stop in, they have a pop or a sandwich or whatever, and then they went to work. But there was just like I said, Mr. Owens, it was because with his son Gary, we were much better friends. We used to have also, like the mayor come in. The mayor come in for many, many years, stop in at least once or twice.
Which mayor? Do you remember?
Jerry Graves.
Okay.
And even Mayor Barman used to come in. We had, even in the old days, Councilman Ferguson used to come in. Magic Johnson and his brothers, they used to come in. Magic's father, which one of the most beautiful people you can meet, used to stop in because he was a busy man, never had much time to spend at Harry's.
But he was also an employee of Fisher Body.
Yes.
And two of his brothers.
Two of his brothers. Wonderful people, yes. Our neighbors, they were such great people.
So you've had amazing people come to your establishment.
Oh, absolutely, all through the years. I remember one time, you know, the funny thing was, Governor Williams, I think it was maybe 1960, G. Menon Williams, in 1960, he was in front of Fisher Body. Don't quote me exactly the same date, it could be the same year. And they tried to convinced the people from Fisher Body to call to vote for Jim Menon Williams. And after the people went to work, Jim Menon Williams, the governor, came to Harris and says, I introduced myself. I used to know his son, Gary. And we had a little chat. Says, please serve the people a drink. We serve them. And then he tried to find a little money to pay for it. And he looked at me and his assistant. He says, you know, I have no money. Here was one of the wealthiest men. He had no cash in his pocket. And I said, Governor, don't worry about it. I'll take care of the bill. You know, there was, you know, you're talking about experience. That, yeah, I think that was one of my key experiences that I, you know, to walk in. Anyway, that was fun.
Art, you said that Harry told you back when Mr. Durant was working here, and he used to come in, and he would come in and cook breakfast or lunch or dinner. Now, did he live in the neighborhood also?
Yes, he did. He used to live just about 5-6 houses east from Harry's on Shiawassee Street. Whenever he was in town, there was his residence. And I don't know for how long he lived there. I never got the details from Harry. But I'm pretty sure for about 10 years, there was his local residence.
Doug Rademacher. Art, there's this was a very nice neighborhood. You've got the Sexton High School. Was there any occasion where you supported anything with the Verlinden Grade School, the children?
Again, you know, wherever there was a function in Sexton, Verlinden's grade school, whenever a flyer came around, they wanted donations, they wanted some kind of support. That was our neighborhood. That was our people. If we don't support our people, what's the reason of working? You know, that's your family. If you take it overall, whoever you're involved with, they're your people. You got to support them. Not only me, but all of us. It's our responsibility to support our neighborhood, support our city, support our state, support our people. You know, if you're a Christian, that's the key to it. Don't be selfish. Share God's gift, whatever He gave you, for your health, to be able to provide for the people that cannot provide for themselves. You know,
Art, on May 5th of 2005, it was announced prior, but that was the date of the closing of the Fisher Body plant as we know it, Lansing Car Assembly. What were your feelings, and what are your thoughts here as we see today they're starting to drop the building?
Thinking back, Doc, I'll tell you. When I first heard about things that might be happening around here, there was, I think, in the middle 80s. Some of the engineers from Warren, that they were the planners of GM, have told me eventually something is going to happen on the production of automobiles across the street at Fisher Body. And I used to always question my local leaders, if they were the United Auto Workers president, vice president, committee man, if they've heard anything, anybody from the plan, that the engineers, whoever I have seen, what the future holds. And everybody said, well, eventually something's going to happen. But in my own thinking, I never thought that the Fisher Body plant was going to be totally closed. I thought eventually somebody else was going to take over and produce something different than other GM vehicles. I don't know, maybe too naive about it, but that was my thinking. But Once it happened, you got to feel that reality. And I look back, and I talk with my wife, I talk with my kids. I say, you know something? GM, United Auto Workers Employees, they were so good to us. We had such a beautiful living. We were blessed. You know? And now they came to this. We should be thankful of what we had, what we made, the kind of life that we were blessed with. And not to be bitter of the future, to move on. So hopefully that Harry's, as we know now, it's difficult times. Till what's going to happen across the street, we don't know. But I told my kids, if we can hold on to, we're very thankful that Harry's is paid up, that we'll see what's going to happen, and we're going to try to serve the neighborhood and whoever else we can by trying to keep it to something. Got to go across the street. Housing? I don't know. Something commercial? I don't know. I know the mayor. I've spoken with the mayor. Previous mayor, Benavides, Romero, the union. Nobody really knows. Unless you people know something about it. Nobody really. Right now, we're all in the dark, right? But something's going to happen.
All right, this has been a fantastic interview. Is there anything that we haven't touched on that you'd like to share that we haven't touched on?
Honey, you people have been so wonderful. I want to thank you. I want to thank you. Really, it's been a great... I will never forget this day. Okay? It's been wonderful to be just like you people. Always been with me. Anytime that I had a question, you guys been so forward. And I'm glad that I had to meet all of you people all through the years.
Well, Art, we thank you for sharing your life, your family, and letting us be a part of that, and accepting us as we are to be part of a community family.
Doug, just like I said, thank you for you guys being so supportive of Harry's. So honest to whatever you know that was going on, to share it with us so we can plan our days and our lives. Thank you.
Well, I hope you keep it as long as it's comfortable, and I'll continue to patronize your establishment, sir.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.